Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. He is a Brooklyn-based designer and the founder of Roll and Hill. Born in New York and raised in Darien, Connecticut, his suburban upbringing heavily influenced his early, more conceptual pieces, duct tape chairs and cracked vases among them, and continues to inform the elegant, historically rich work that has become his signature. He received an MFA in painting and spent time in both the art and advertising worlds, but soon realized he preferred making things to documenting them. His designs, like a mirror whose photographic surface recalls a painted landscape, still often reflect those early preoccupations, but each is a functional object with a kind of beauty and a certain wit. Today, he runs his own design studio and Roland Hill from his headquarters in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, all of which keeps him quite busy making the world more beautiful. Jason Miller, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you for having me.
Jason, how important was the environment that you were working in, or was it just a place for the work to happen?
Well, it was an interesting time. I was living in Williamsburg in the late 90s, which was experiencing somewhat of a renaissance, I guess. Creative people of all sorts had moved there to escape Manhattan, get workspace, have a little bit of freedom. So it was an incredibly interesting time to be in that place and trying to make things.
So that was what life was like and about at that time, which baits the question, which we ask here from time to time, Jason. Is it something that we're born with, or is it something that our environment nurtures in us?
No, the environment was very much a part of it. It wasn't just the space, although that's, you know, that was sort of the primary reason a lot of people moved there. But the community was more important. It informed everything we did. You know, when we'd go out at night, we'd spend time at each other's studios. We wouldn't, you know, we'd go to bars, of course, occasionally, but we spent as much time hanging out in each other's workspaces as we did anything else. So the idea of making things was the conversation. That was the lifestyle.
So you sort of experienced some of both. Yep, that seems to be the majority opinion. So did you always know that this would be the career path for you, Jason?
Or I guess we're starting with the easy questions.
Sure.
I think there is an element of it that you're born with, certainly. And then I think it probably flourishes in an environment that where there's feedback. So I guess I would say some of both.
So talk to us about that transition.
I don't think I was discouraged, but I didn't grow up in a creative environment. You know, growing up in the suburbs of Connecticut is, the expectations are more that you'll end up with a, you know, job as a banker or a lawyer or a professional in some way, not an artist or a designer. So as I said, my parents weren't discouraging, but I just don't think they didn't really have access in their own life to the path that I was interested in. I knew I wanted to make things, and art was the field that allowed me to do that. So all throughout my schooling, I pursued art as the end goal. It wasn't until after school, when I was really in my late 20s, that I came onto design and realized that that was actually a better thing for me than making art.
What doors did it begin to open for you?
What doors did it open for me? I think I had to kind of open my own doors in some ways. It was a departure from certainly what I was brought up with and even what I had studied in school. for some reason, I never really realized that it was a career. The idea of design, which the technical term, I guess, would be industrial designer or product designer. I didn't really know that that was an option professionally. So I kind of had to make it up as I went.
Well, we're glad you did. So talk to us about what you're creating today. What's on the drawing boards? What's got you smiling?
Well, two things. So Roland Hill has become a bigger and bigger enterprise over the years. So and continues to grow pretty rapidly. So that takes up a good chunk of my time. And then,
Jason, I'm going to interrupt you here for just a second. I want you to talk to us about the brand. For our listeners who may not be familiar with it, talk to us about what Roland Hill is and what you do.
So Roland Hill is a lighting company. We manufacture lights, mostly decorative hanging fixtures, chandeliers, pendants, things like that. We do it all here in Brooklyn and sell throughout the world.
Wow. Not an easy venture, I'm sure.
Naivete is an important quality sometimes. So,
one of those moments when what you don't know is probably better. Well,
yes, exactly.
So, is that how it all began?
No, it really began with my studio, which I still operate today. When I started making design, I was doing it just on my own and self-producing some of the things that I thought were interesting. After doing that for a few years, it was the lighting really that became commercially successful. And I looked around at the other designers that were doing interesting work in New York and realized that they had a hand in lighting in some way as well, and maybe lighting in itself was a good business idea. So Roland Hill really started as a spin-off from my own studio.
Wonderful. So Jason, when you think about all of the different irons that you have in the fires as you're running your business, working your studio, what is it that about the work that you do right now, Jason, that you love the most?
Well, I mean, designing something new is always the most thrilling thing. That still gives me a kick in a way that nothing else does. But, you can't really be a designer without having your hand in business in some way. So, luckily, I enjoy that part of it also. Being a CEO and having a business that's growing rapidly is also an interesting set of challenges and one that I like to work on.
What's the time distribution like, Jason, between when you're wearing the CEO hat, the creative hat, and all these other hats that you wear?
It's probably not 50-50 at this point. I spend more time on the CEO side of things than I do on the creative side. I would say it's probably 75-25 at this point. But I knew that going into it. When I started Roland Hill, I knew that it wasn't something that was going to take 6 months to get up and running, and then I could sort of wash my hands of it. I knew that it was going to be a 5 to 10 year project, and I think we're on schedule for that kind of timing.
That sounds like you have a very definite goal in mind. What is that goal, Jason? What are you working towards?
It's interesting. I probably shouldn't talk about it that way because I don't think that plateau exists. The goal right now is to turn Roland Hill into a great manufacturing company. We've gone from one guy in the back room putting lamps together to 55 employees and more work than we can handle in a very short period of time. So right now what we're trying to do is transition from being effectively a boutique studio to a real honest manufacturing company, one that can produce boutique quality things at scale. So that's, that to me is the ultimate goal right now. And then, what happens after that, I'm not entirely sure.
Wow. Nothing like raising the bar, right?
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's quite a set of accomplishments to date. And something tells me that you'll accomplish any goals that you've got ahead of you.
Thanks.
So what are the biggest challenges, Jason? I mean, you've got no small undertaking that you're responsible for here. What challenges you on a day-to-day basis?
You know, finding time to do everything, I think, is probably the biggest challenge at this point. You know, and I think any small business owner has probably the same issue. You have to find that balance between doing everything yourself and giving up a little bit of control. I think that's the thing I probably struggle with the most.
I hear that a lot from creative types. I think sometimes relinquishing that control for us is more difficult than it might be for others. I mean, it's our baby, it's our vision, it's our dream. Do you find that to be the case for you, Jason?
Absolutely. I mean, I think with any creative endeavor, your name is on it or your name is associated with it in a way that it isn't in a different type of business. You know, the things that I produce out of my studio quite literally come out of my head and no one else's head. It's different if you're running a tech company or something like that. It's a bit more abstract.
So it really is the work of your hands as an extension of your creativity. So talk to our listeners at home for a moment, Jason. They tune into the show curious to hear about our guests, but also to learn a tip or an idea that might help them create more beauty in their home. From your perch as CEO, artist, creator, designer, talk to our listeners at home. Share with them some thoughts that you think might be helpful to them.
I could talk about any number of subjects. I think, you know, one of the things that I found the most interesting in my career is when I first started, this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I first started in the design world, the Americans in that field were almost apologists. There was this sense that we didn't have what the Europeans had, and that American consumers were regressive and needed to be taught how to like design. And I always thought that was a really silly notion. It felt, you know, I mean, Americans have proven nothing if not to be good consumers. And the idea that they just didn't understand this one particular field seemed preposterous to me. So I think one of the things that I kind of set out to do was to prove that idea wrong. And I think what's great about what's happened with my career and with Roland Hill is that I think we've done that to some degree. And I think America is having a real renaissance right now in terms of design and, you know, both creating it and consuming it. And I think it's a really exciting time to be here and working in that field.
I would agree completely, Jason. Now, let's turn the conversation for a moment to the place that you call home. We're always curious to hear from our guests about the spaces they create for themselves and for their families. Do you have a favorite space within your home, Jason? Some place that you gravitate towards particularly? And if so, tell us about it.
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because I'm literally buying a new house in 3 hours from now. So, I have an apartment here in Brooklyn, which is great. I've lived there for 3 years with my daughter, but my mind is on the new place right now. So, it'll be an interesting project to turn that into a home.
What are you starting with, I should say?
It's a townhouse in Brooklyn. Let's just say it's a fixer-upper.
So you're going to be covered in dust for a while then.
Yes, exactly.
We'll have to check back with you and hear how that story unfolds. It's never dull, I'm sure about that. When you think about the finished product, Jason, or maybe even the space that you call home right now, what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home?
Surprised. That's interesting. I think people might be surprised to find how little furniture there is in it. I tend to be somewhat of a minimalist when it comes to stuff around me. My ultimate goal, I think, is try to create a sense of peace in an interior. And oftentimes, I think that's done with less stuff rather than more stuff.
There is something to be said for a little bit less. I would agree with that completely. Let's think about influences for a moment, Jason. Artists, designers, creators who have influenced you and your work. If you had an opportunity to spend an hour with one of these individuals, it could be living, could be deceased. Tell us who you would pick to spend that hour with and why.
I would pick someone who I often get to spend hours with. When I finished graduate school, my first job was working for an artist here in the city. And he was a quite famous artist. But the real interest in the dynamic there was the group of assistants that had assembled around him. And those people have had more of an influence on my life than creatively and personally than almost anyone else. That job was more than 20 years ago now, and I'm still friends with those people, many of those people. It was, for me, that experience was more important than anything I did in school. Being in a group, in a sort of enclosed environment with a bunch of really smart, ambitious people that were questioning everything around them. As I said, nothing's really had more of an influence on me than that group.
Wow, fascinating. Lucky for you to have them.
Yes.
And yes. They to have you. So tell us what's out on the horizon, Jason. You've got so many great things happening right now. We look forward to seeing and hearing more from you over the coming years. But what's out there far, far away that's maybe just a goal or an objective at this point, but it's something that you're working towards? Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. I'll sort of maybe put it in two buckets. We talked a little bit about Roland Hill and what the goals are there. That is, and that's an important thing for me. I really do believe in the company, and I want to get it to that place that we had talked about. For my studio, I think what's interesting about right now is that because I don't get to devote my 100% of my time to it, I get to be really picky about which projects I take on. And I think there's some really interesting ones coming out right now. Projects that allow me to kind of create a vision forward in a way that I haven't been able to yet. So I'm excited about that.
We look forward to following the fruits of those labors, Jason. Will we be able to see the results of that on the website?
Yeah. The biggest of which is a collection of furniture that I'm producing, or that another company is producing, that I'm designing. That should be launching, I think probably the first pieces will come out in the fall, and then more in February. So that should be happening relatively soon.
Very exciting. Congratulations. We'll post a link to your website in the show notes section so our listeners can click on that and see all the great things that you are creating. We'll have to have you back on the show once that's up and running, Jason. Have you back and talk to us more about that. Would you do that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Great. So, Jason, what is the very best design advice that you've ever come across?
I talk to students often, either doing crits or interviewing or even, just at openings, things like that. And the one piece of advice that I always give them is to just simply make interesting work, and all of the other stuff will figure itself out. And I really do believe that. I think it's easy to get caught up in the external stuff. But I really do believe that if you make interesting work or good work, people will find it and it will all work out in the end.
Wise words indeed. Let's do a hypothetical for a second here, Jason. I know that it's a transitional time for you, but work with me here. If there were a fire at the house tonight, family, loved ones, animals, they're all safe. But what is the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save?
I would say it's probably a piece of artwork. Trying to think which one I'd choose first. It's most likely either a painting or a drawing that I currently have.
It's always good to save art. I'm with you there. Are you a book lover, Jason?
Sort of. I don't read as much as I would like to.
No judgment here. I understand that, too. There are only so many hours in the day. Our listeners love books, Jason, so we always ask our guests to give us a book recommendation, one book that they think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Maybe I'll answer that in a slightly different way. I was reading this morning about a book that I almost immediately want to go out and find. It's a book about the interiors, specifically entryways of Milan, and that certainly piqued my interest when I was browsing this morning. So that's the next one on my list.
Great, we'll add that to our list too. We'll do some research and post a link to that in the show notes section, and our listeners can click on that and add it to their library. I have a feeling they'll be appreciative of the recommendation. Sounds fascinating. Jason, that brings us down to the last question. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Let me paint a picture for you and then get your thoughts. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
To begin to decorate. So the house is empty, correct?
Yep. Where would you start?
I have developed a real fascination for carpet in the last few years. So I would probably start on the floors. Yeah, I think that's where I would start.
Start at the bottom and work your way up, right?
Yes, exactly.
I like that approach. I really do. Jason, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you with us.
Thanks very much. It was fun.
We want to say thank you to our subscribers who've tuned in to the show today. We appreciate your dedication to what we're doing here. Thank you. None of this means anything without you, so keep sharing news about the show with your friends, helping us to grow. While you're bouncing over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, remember you can catch the notes from today's show there. We'll post a link to Jason's website so you can follow all the great things that he and his team are up to, both in the studio and at Roll and Hill. Do check both of those out. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.